Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Are you one of those people that actually likes your money? Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers like your money too. So if you're tired of spending hundreds on crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote unquote free perks that cost you more in the long run, then a premium wireless plan from Mint Mobile for $15 a month might be right for you.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just overpay for their wireless because that's how it's always been and you're just used to it. But there's a better option now. It's only $15 a month.
Yeah, and all of Mint Mobile's plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
And you can bring your existing phone and phone number and you just activate with an eSIM within minutes and you can start saving immediately. And there's also no long-term contracts or hassle.
Yeah, I've said it before. One of my brothers uses Mint Mobile and he's always talking about how good his service is for a fraction of the price that the rest of the family is paying, and he's on to something.
He is. So if you like your money, Mint Mobile is definitely for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/DWKT. That's mintmobile.com/DWKT.
An upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options are available. Taxes and fees are extra. See Mint Mobile for details. And thank you so much to Mint Mobile for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/Scorecard Plus for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them, episode 326.
Yep, it's early. Probably not a long intro coming from us. You know what I mean? We don't got much else to say in this life right now. We're kind of tired.
I was like, can you tell? Yeah. I feel like my eyes are swollen.
Oh my God. We filmed recently in the morning. And when I was editing those like ads specifically, because the ads we filmed first, like I feel like we kind of wake up throughout the episode. You know what I mean? But the ads are first. Yeah. And like, I'm pretty sure you fell asleep at some point there. Like, I feel like you were literally just looking at me like this. I was like, Lily, wake up. And I can't tell when we're filming because you're so tiny that I can't correct you in the moment.
But it's also funny because I notice like when I'm like focused on saying something that like I know I have to say, I tend to close my eyes, which I've noticed like watching it back. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Open your eyes. Yeah. It's also difficult. I will say the amount of lights. And if you're any amount of tired with that, it is just like very, very bad. And you just want to fall asleep because the lights are just making your eyes squint. And then, it's a downward spiral from there.
There are a lot of lights. Actually,
are alive.
They're really bright.
And excited to be here. Okay, we are. We're excited. We're here. Mm-hmm. We're ready for this episode.
We have a fun one.
Well, we do.
Half of it's fun.
Yeah, half of it is fun. And the first half is something that we've been getting tagged in a lot on TikTok because, wow, it is very interesting. When I saw it, part of me had to wonder, is this like satire? Like, what is going on? Like, how could, I don't know, the way she talks and stuff, I'm like, oh God. But you know, now I think I'm so traumatized from believing everything that it's like turning me into like a forced skeptic. You know what I mean? So I don't look dumb.
Yeah.
Even when something's like super obviously real, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, and it's disturbing when you have to question if things are real because it's like, why would someone make that up?
Right.
But like, people do make things up.
Oh, all the time.
Outrageous.
Yeah. So we'll start with that and then we'll end on a good note. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. So this has to do with Lindsay. She goes by Linz Jax on TikTok and her husband. And we don't know if this is a new TikTok account that she made specifically for documenting her failed adoptions, because all of the videos that she has up right now are all about this. And basically she has had 3 failed adoptions in the past 3 months. Okay, so she really wants to adopt a baby and it's failed 3 times. Like, she's been in the hospital holding the children and then she hasn't gone home with them.
Like, the mom decides to keep them.
The mom or the dad, yeah. We've talked about adoption a few times on this channel for different stories. And when we talk about it, we all seem to understand that, like, first of all, there's a difference between adoption and fostering. Okay, so
yeah, I was gonna say most recently we've talked about fostering and that it's like the goal is reunification with the birth parent.
Exactly.
Adoption, obviously, I feel like it's complicated because like obviously, yes, it's best to be with the birth parent if that's the best situation for the baby.
Right. And it may not always be, of course.
Exactly. But I would imagine it's hard to like think everything's gonna go through, because like even when you do get the baby, like you could take a baby home and like be with it. Like, they don't finalize the adoption overnight. It's like over the course of like a year.
I wonder though, isn't there something that like once the birth mother or the parents, they sign over their rights, like do you have some immediate rights or do you have literally none until you adopt a year later?
I think you have like maybe, I should have asked Jocelyn before we started.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Our resident adopted parents.
I think you have like guardian rights of some
Right. You
kind.
Would have to for like medical things, I would imagine. Yeah.
Exactly. But the like actual like finalization of the adoption took over a year.
Okay.
So I do think there's points in that process where the birth mom could be like, hey, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate for the adoptive parents, obviously, but it's always going to be a complicated situation, I think, with custody and birth parents.
For sure. Yeah. I do think, though, that it would make logical sense, and I'm pretty sure that's how it works, is that the birth parent would have a tougher time revoking that and like getting the baby back after they've signed over those initial rights in the hospital. Like, I do think that would make it more complicated for them. But I think that in the hospital specifically, there's that window of time that they have the baby with them and that they do get to ultimately decide to sign or not sign, even if they've had prior agreements with somebody and said, yes, I am going to put my baby up for adoption.
Yeah. And I'm even curious because I know that there's some situations where like the birth mom like doesn't even necessarily like hold the baby.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's the birth mom's choice. Like, it's probably something that they're like, I don't, because it's just going to be too
difficult.
It'll
be too hard. Yeah.
And obviously, any way you slice it, there is good and bad happening in that moment for everyone. Like, it's not like you show up to a hospital and you're like, yay, like my baby. Like, it's a very difficult situation for everybody. And to choose to put a child up for adoption is a very, very, very difficult decision.
For sure. So this, it was in the hospital each time?
Well, yeah. And the reason why we know that, we're going to blur it. But she made this like sad montage video where she's holding both of the babies. I think this was specifically two of the children that she was going to adopt, because the other one happened very recently. It's been over the course of 3 months. But the last one, like the way that she described the story, is what pissed people off royally. And that's why we're here today, because she just, the way she describes these stories is really something, lacking a little bit of empathy in my opinion. But she posted this video with like what sounds like an AI generated baby song. Forgive me if that's like a real like artist who wrote that, but it's like my baby, like, you know what I mean, like that kind of vibe. And wow. And then she's rocking these babies in the hospital. There's two separate ones, so this is the first one and then this is the second one, and she's crying. And it says on screen, three babies, three adoptions, three heartbreaks. The faces of these children that are not her children are fully visible on her TikTok. We are blurring it. But wow, isn't that 101? Like, you don't do that?
I feel like that's like not even allowed in a lot.
I feel like it's not too. Like, how is her agency or whoever she's working with allowing that? Like, I feel like, and I've said it before, I don't think they should be allowed to show the face for like at least a year after they adopt or something. Like, they shouldn't put them on social media.
I will point out that when you showed her bio, it did say Jesus and adoption, I believe, in it.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus plus adoption plus infertility journey. So
what is this math equation?
I'm guessing it was through like a church group of some kind.
Yeah, which we've also discussed. Yeah, that can be a little predatory sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes churches can shame, especially younger mothers, into giving up their children because they had them out of wedlock or whatever the case may be, and they don't want that look. You know, they don't want it to cramp their style of the church, of course.
And the only reason I even brought it up, though, is because also they probably don't have strict rules about showing the baby on social media.
Yeah, that would make sense, too. My question is, too, like, if you have two failed adoptions, let's say, which failed adoption is kind of a, I don't like that term even.
That's when you first said it. I was like, what does that mean?
That's like exactly what she calls it. But I'm just like, it feels like the baby just got to be with their parents and that's happy. You know what I mean? I know it sucks for you and you had this like vision, but realistically, it's not your kid. And if it's not your kid, then you can't be like she can't act like they ripped her child from her home type of thing. Like, you're allowed to be disappointed with the circumstances, of course. But to document it online like this, it's weird. It feels weird because I think it just is weird. Now, this is one of her videos where she's clapping back at internet trolls, but she thanks them. Okay. She thanks them because,
Well, they always do.
They're very grateful for the hate, of course. Mm-hmm.
All right. The internet trolls are out and they're coming in hot in the comment section. So thank you all. We matched with the birth mom in August. It was about 4 weeks before she was actually due. We were told that birth father was not involved, did not want to be involved, knew about the pregnancy, but was not supportive. This was actually her ninth child. She had some drug issues in the past. There was also some sexual abuse in her family with her kids. She wanted to break the cycle.
What does that mean?
I think she's saying that somebody from her family hurt her kids, which also, why the fuck are you telling us this?
Yeah, I was like, feels like not your story to tell. No. But also, like, yeah, why are we hearing this?
Even her mentioning that she has 9 kids, it almost feels like she's kind of implying, like, what's one more? You know, just give it to me. Like, I don't know. That's kind of her vibe.
Yeah.
And do something for her child that she couldn't do for herself. She was being evicted from her apartment after this baby was born. And so she had no support for this baby. So she was trying to set herself up and this baby's life up for success. Everything was looking really good. She was going to be induced on a Saturday and we were going to be at the hospital, a part of that birth. She asked me to be in the delivery room. I was able to cut the umbilical cord. Everything went really well the first night. And then the second day, things started to fall apart. Stay tuned for the second part.
This isn't even your fucking story. Stay tuned for what? Like, yeah. This is so fucked. But then she starts adding some zesty little details to her story that make you think, why'd you say that?
So the next morning, I show up at the hospital and she mentions to me that she posted on Facebook that the baby was born. And I thought, well, that's interesting. We started talking about how the birth father had contacted her on Facebook, seeing that the baby was born. We're gonna call him Mario.
So she starts coming up with nicknames. Okay. Yeah. At one point, you're gonna see that she calls the dad Burrito. So
Shut the fuck up.
Interesting choices. Do we think they're Hispanic? I don't know. Just a guess. I'm not sure. Not sure. Like, genuinely, like,
Burrito?
And also just like the fact that, like, you're telling a serious story. Like, even if, okay, you're making up a random name, I understand maybe wanting a name that, like, rhymes with it or whatever. But, like, if you're trying to preserve the identity, though, of the person you're talking about, maybe don't, like, make it a stereotypical Hispanic name, you know?
Well, call him, like, the baby's dad. Like, yeah. Why do we even have to give him a name?
No, it genuinely just feels racist, honestly. It does feel racist. Yeah. Sorry.
So Mario.
Oh, my God. She put the
yeah, fucking... she has the which I guess Mario is Italian, not okay, Hispanic, but like,
yeah, she puts a little Super Mario gif on the, I can't, yeah. What is this editing? What is this music? What is this vibe? Everything sucks.
I don't know.
So Mario said he would like to come to the hospital and see if this is his child. Meanwhile, we were told that Mario wanted nothing to do with this baby and hadn't talked to her in 8 months. Her and I continued to talk. She shared with me that at the time the baby was conceived, that she was living with her ex-boyfriend. We're gonna call him Burrito. Oh my God.
Burrito.
Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm.
I asked her, were you sleeping with Burrito? And she said, yes, we were sleeping together, but he wasn't going inside me.
This is way too much information.
No, literally the human embodiment of TMI is this bitch. Like, what are you talking? Why am I hearing about somebody creaming up in anybody's bits? I don't want to know about any of that.
And why is he named Burrito?
Girl, we know why he's named Burrito. Like, this is fucked. No, like, genuinely.
That's outrageous.
No, it genuinely is. I don't know. Okay, Mario, I think I would have let it slide. It's a little questionable. Burrito, absolutely not. Like, that's literally your
disgrace.
That's
fucking insane.
Yeah. It's so funny because, like, I genuinely wonder if they're even Mexican. Because, like, she gives the vibe that, like, no matter what they are, if they're Hispanic, they're Mexican. You know what I mean? That's the vibe she gives.
Yeah, they could
be
Cuban. They could be, yeah.
Yeah, if she's like, burrito, all of you, Spanish. Like, what? Yeah,
exactly. Oh, empanada. Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, ZocDoc.
If you don't already know, ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so that you can find someone you love, and it can be so hard to do that, especially if you want to find a doctor that's in-network nearby with open time slots. It feels like you're winning the lottery when you do all those three things, but with ZocDoc, it is so much easier than you think.
It's true. I feel like we used to rely just on, like, word of mouth and, like, friends giving recommendations, but then you would call the doctor and either find out they don't take your insurance or they don't have an appointment for 3 months. But speaking from experience, ZocDoc has come in clutch because they are usually available within 24 to 72 hours, and sometimes even same day appointments are available. And that comes in handy when you do stuff like, you know, break your tooth.
Yeah, and they have over 150,000 providers across all 50 states. So whether you're looking for somebody in dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the other 200 plus specialties offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom, which is very helpful, to build the care team that's right for you.
And they have in-person doctors, they have telehealth appointments you could do. So really they have you covered for pretty much every circumstance, and their schedule comes up like right when you search. So you just get to pick the time slot and book right from the website, which also means you don't have to call them, which is amazing.
So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and head over to ZocDoc.com/GWKT to find and instantly book a doctor you love today.
That's ZocDoc.com/DWKT, ZocDoc.com/DWKT.
And thank you so much to ZocDoc for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
So that was another red flag that came out the next day. Then later on, my husband and I were asked to step out of the room because she was having a visitor come. So we stepped out of the room for about an hour. We're going to call this guy
Pablo. Oh my God.
Pablo.
Shut the fuck up.
Pablo.
I'm surprised it wasn't quesadilla.
It genuinely feels like a satire. That's why I'm telling you, when I saw it, I was like, she fucking with me right now?
It really does.
With the music and stuff, like if she's like playing like a caricature of like a religious woman that like wants to adopt a baby.
Exactly.
Like that vibe.
Yeah.
But apparently not. She really just is that lady.
Pablo and his girlfriend showed up, and we were told this was a friend of hers that just wanted to see the baby. We found out that Pablo thinks he was actually the father of this child. So as we are spending the entire next day with the birth mom, under the assumption that she still wanted this adoption to go through, all of this stuff is unfolding.
Thanks for the cliffhanger.
Another
queen.
Cliffhanger.
Love that. Yeah. I'm so dead. One of the comments says, so burrito isn't a name for a human. It isn't really a name for an animal either, unless you're talking about a tiny burro. What?
I'm just picturing a cute little tiny donkey named Burrito.
Is a burro a donkey?
Yeah.
Oh my God. How do you just know things like that? That's crazy.
I'm a big animal fan.
We took the cooler that we had her placenta in.
Why were you keeping her placenta?
Yeah, wait, what?
Were you gonna, do not tell me you were gonna eat it, because I will throw up right now.
That's weird. Like, you don't keep someone else's placenta.
Yeah, no, I honestly thought very briefly about keeping mine, and then I was like, yeah, no, thank you.
Honestly, I feel like that's a questionable thing for me in general, yeah. But yeah, someone else's. Also, backing up to her saying that the dad, the, I guess, was it
Pablo and Burrito? No.
I think it was Mario.
It was Mario and Pablo are fighting the paternity situation right now.
But it was that Mario was going to come to the hospital to see if it was his baby. I don't think that's something that they can just like determine on one visit, you know?
I think they do paternity tests at the hospital because they have the baby's DNA. They always take their blood right when they're born. So if you get the blood of the dad, I'm pretty sure you could do something there.
I guess, but she didn't even like imply that it was going for like a paternity test. It was almost like he was coming just to like see if it's like is
just
there
look at it.
I think I'm the dad. Yeah.
We took the cooler that we had her placenta in. Our caseworker straight up asks the birth mom, do you still want this adoption to go through? And the birth mom says, yes, I still want Lindsay and Spencer to parent. We are then given a room at the hospital so that the baby can go back and forth. So we're doing skin to skin with this baby. We're feeding, we're changing diapers, we're bonding with this baby. But meanwhile, in the background, she was kind of pegging the different birth fathers up, saying, what will you give me to support this baby? One birth father was saying, I'll give you housing. Another birth father was saying, I can move into a duplex with my girlfriend and I, and we can take care of this baby. Meanwhile, none of them are asking for a paternity test. They are only wanting this child. And nobody was named on the birth certificate. We're just thinking, what is going on? What is happening? How is this stuff overlooked? At that point, we're told, go back to the hotel. Y'all get a good night's rest. I'm gonna figure out what to do My husband and I feel completely manipulated. We feel completely taken advantage of. We've given this lady prenatal vitamins, a breast pump, spent so many hours of our life pouring into her, going to doctor's appointments, supporting her, and all this to find out that she had all this information in the beginning and never shared that. So this mom was ultimately looking for whoever was going to be able to take care of her. She was in fight or flight, in survival mode. She couldn't take care of herself, let alone this baby.
What?
She was just trying to work the system, and we got played in all of that.
Wait, so are you suggesting she just used you for prenatal vitamins and a breast pump? Because that's, she could have gotten that on buy nothing. You know what I mean?
She's acting like it was like a surrogate situation where it's like, yes, they were like very involved in the entire pregnancy. And it's like, that's not how adoptions work.
No. And also at this point, I would say, yes, is that frustrating? Can you be disappointed? Absolutely, you can.
Yes.
I don't think that this is the appropriate response to that, because coming on TikTok and talking about everything that she shared, I think is highly inappropriate, whichever way you slice it.
Well, and also, she was like, oh, they're in a separate room, which I know that they do that. She's like, and we were feeding the baby and like, blah, blah. What do you mean you were feeding the baby?
Like formula, I'm assuming. Or the, she was that, like pumping for them.
Do you do that
them.
Soon?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they get formula right away. They're hungry right off the bat. And then
I know,
they start eating every couple hours.
They usually try and do like breastfeeding right off.
Yeah, but if you're adopting too, you may not want to do the breast milk. You may just start with formula.
To not get them like used to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of people do that too. But like, I just feel like I don't know how she thinks she used her. Maybe just for moral support or like whatever. But I don't think somebody would go through this situation just to have somebody at their doctor's appointments and give them some stuff here and there. I think she should be more upset at her agency. And especially now this is the third failed adoption that she calls it that we're on currently. That seems like an agency issue. That seems like they're matching you with people who are not properly vetted and who, yes, they have the right regardless to change their mind. But for it to happen three times, I'm like, I feel like she's just like, give me a baby. That's what I want, a newborn baby. Yeah. I don't want any like older child to raise, which is what I'm assuming, because she has infertility issues and she has not been able to have a baby herself. I think she just wants a kid. And so she's going for the first thing that she can get. And it's maybe people that are unsure or people that are in, you know, just particular situations that maybe otherwise she would have turned away.
And she basically was like, oh, she's like gaming the system. Well, you're not even really going through the system.
Yeah.
I don't think. Like, you're going through, it seems like, probably a church group.
Yeah, that's what it's giving. It is not giving official adoption agency, which there's issues with official adoption agencies as it is. But church ones are particularly bad.
We got the call from the agency the next day saying the mom is deciding to parent. And once we got that call, we took the cooler that we had her placenta in that we were storing in our hotel room. We dropped it off to the hospital. And we said peace, and we went home and never looked back.
Okay.
What? That was such a weird ending to the story. Like, why did you even have to tell us?
I looked at the newborn baby and I said, peace. It's like, what?
No, but also, like, why are we talking about the placenta? And why was that necessary to...
Yeah,
like,
it just made you look weirder for having it in the first place, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, this is something else that she's posted. It's like a montage of her and her husband with music. And it says, my dream is that one day the right person would see this video and choose us. And it's just her and her husband, like existing.
A fan cam edit of you guys and your relationship. Is gonna be like, I want them to adopt my kid.
So people commented things like this on her TikTok saying, imagine praying that another woman has to give her baby up. And she says, that is not and will never be my prayer. We can pray that God would put in our path that man or woman that is in need. Some amazing people have the self-reflection to know they can't do it alone and when to ask for help for the benefit of the child.
Okay, also, what you just described, like, they can't do it alone doesn't mean, like, give up the baby for adoption either.
Right, no, you're 100% correct. And she also says a lot of times, like, she mentioned it, but she says it more explicitly in the TikToks we're gonna watch. She says, like, decided to parent. That's what she describes it as, like, oh, now they decided they wanted to parent. It's like, it's so much more complicated than that. You know what I mean? This woman, let's say she does have 9 kids and that's her actual story. Like, you know how hard it is? I mean, do I think that people should have 10 kids? Absolutely fucking not.
No.
God bless. I do not think so. But it is very difficult. Like, you grow a child in your fucking body. Your body is not your body for a year. To just ask a woman to, like, give it up, no quarrels. Like, it's very difficult. You know what I mean? And more than likely, they're going to live with that, like, guilt and what if and everything for the rest of their life, even if it's the right decision for them. So I feel like she treats it a little flippantly and just be like, well, it's for the benefit of the child. It's like, first of all, you seem weird. I don't even know that that's true. Like, I don't know you and your husband, but I'm not 100% sure that's true.
Yeah. Sometimes when people are so adamant on like, all they want is a baby, I'm like, are you okay? I get like wanting a child, but like when that's like literally their only, it's like if they don't get a child soon, their life is meaningless.
Yeah. I fear that may, I'm not trying to shit on religion, but I fear that may have to do something with religion. Isn't there like a thing about like be fruitful and multiply and whatever? And I'm like, not everybody needs to multiply.
Like you feel like you're not doing your human duty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which as a woman, yes, do I understand feeling like your body is like broken and whatever? Yes, I get it. And I could see how that's troubling. But is the answer just give me a newborn baby and I'll be good? It's not always. And usually probably not, actually. Now, this is her responding to a comment that says, children are most times better off with their biological families. I know it's sad for you, but there has been studies on this very thing. I am happy the baby is with dad. Now, is that that's a harsh comment. And also, I don't even know that that's 100% true. I don't think that biological equals better always. I think that in a lot of cases, maybe so.
I think that a lot of situations, maybe it's so overwhelming and they feel like they can't do it, even though maybe they could.
Right.
Then if at the last minute they like kind of get a boost of courage and they're like, okay, actually, like I can do this, I can figure it out, and like it would be a good situation because they do want the baby and they can give it a life, it was just like scary and they didn't really know how to navigate it. But then there's also situations obviously where they aren't fit to parent and it would be better for them to give it up.
But this is her response. It's to another song, and then she puts text on screen that says, people keep saying biology is what matters most, so help me understand, why does foster care exist?
What?
Are you well, ma'am? Are you okay?
When what is she like, just she's very angry.
No, and then it's 20 seconds of her just like staring off into the abyss. It's a very awkward TikTok. And people left comments saying foster care is for reunification, not for building a family. So I don't see what you're trying to get across here. And she responds, reunification is the goal, but when it can't happen, children still need families. That's literally why adoption exists, with the mind blown emoji.
Okay, but you just said, why does foster care exist?
Yeah, that's why I differentiated in the beginning too. Like there's a difference between adoption and foster care. There are foster kids that get adopted. That is not necessarily the most common thing. Most people end up going back to their families. And that is the goal because a lot of parents are experiencing temporary hardships, temporary battles with addiction, things like that, that the kid needs to be safe while they figure their shit out. And then they could be a family one day, and that will be healing for everybody. It doesn't mean that it's not difficult for the foster parents, but like, you know what I mean? I feel like she's just saying foster care, adoption, same thing. It's not.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that her comment says that's literally why adoption exists, when the caption on screen is literally, why does foster care exist?
Yeah.
It's like, well, those are two different things. Why are we?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
1 week after that failed adoption happened, quote unquote, the agency called Lindsay to let her know that they have another newborn for her. And then a researcher wrote, look how quickly she forgets about Mario and Burrito.
And Pablo.
First of all, she didn't give a fuck the second she left the hospital. She said peace out, remember? So it's like, you're not even describing somebody with a proper emotional response to having been quote unquote attached to that baby and skin to skin and the whole thing.
Well, that's
thing.
The thing though. She's not. She's attached to the idea of a baby.
Ding,
it
ding.
Seems like not the actual baby itself.
Correct. Which is something that I feel like agencies, real agencies, should be able to vet through when it comes to potential parents. Yeah. Like,
well, why the fuck are we learning about this on social media?
Yeah.
And why is she showing the babies? The call every hopeful parent dreams of.
Yes.
Take off that Dr. Pepper shirt, ma'am. Every time it cuts to her husband, I'm alarmed by his beard. Very long, very long.
It's very robust.
Yeah, very. I imagine it's a little scratchy.
You waited a long time.
We've waited a long time. Wasn't this like last week that you had a different newborn?
Yeah, like what about Burrito?
Yeah. And well, but I keep, now when I think Burrito, I'm thinking Burrito's the baby because it's like wrapped up like a burrito, but no, it's because she was being racist, and I keep forgetting that.
At least make a little more sense that wasn't just like racist.
Long time.
And when she looked at you guys, she was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I just fell in love with him.
Aww.
She also really liked Spencer's beard and how funny he was.
Yeah. Only God could make this story happen. Like, what we have been through in the last week. So tell us what from here.
What we have been through in the last 24 hours. It's like, girl,
week.
Golly.
So tomorrow If you could plan to be at the hospital.
I can't believe this is happening right now. Woo!
That was
something is so weird. Yeah, I'm so confused. Oh my god, somebody commented, you can literally see the phone number on the phone. Not her staying, not blurring things that she should be blurring. She is a hot mess.
Oh my god.
So on the caption of that TikTok, she wrote, exactly 1 week after our first adoption match fell through, we got the call. A beautiful baby girl had been born and the parents had chosen us. It felt like our story was finally being redeemed. All the heartbreak from the week before disappeared in an instant. Watching this video back from months ago now makes me emotional because in this moment, we had no idea how our story was about to unfold. Sometimes the moments that feel like the beginning of everything become something else entirely. They were obviously excited, whatever, it didn't pan out. And she sits down for yet another story time on how it did not pan out.
Also, that caption's so weird because like, I feel like the whole like saying is like, oh, you think it's the end, but it's really just the beginning. She's like, we thought it was the beginning, but it was really the end.
Oh, yeah. It's also strange because like, it's not that I don't think she should be sharing the perspective from her side. Like, I don't think that people should just be like, okay, just be disappointed in silence and never talk about it again. But maybe I do think that actually. Maybe I do think that.
I was going to say, I kind of think that.
Yeah, I kind of listen, because a lot of emotions aren't meant to be like TikToked about. You know what I mean? Like, it's just things you go through in life with your husband, with your family. You could be disappointed. You could say things to people in your life that don't have these like insane ramifications because like hundreds of thousands of people are seeing it and trying to process what you went through. Like, it's just, yeah, maybe she shouldn't have said anything.
There's no personal reason I think you need to be sharing. It's like, you could argue, I guess, from another perspective that it's like helping other people that are going through it and they feel less alone.
Yeah.
But it's like, are they gonna feel like any better though? Like, you're not a martyr. This TikTok's not gonna be fixing their heartbreak from finding out that they're not gonna be parents.
Right.
So like, is it really doing that much besides like harm?
Yeah, we haven't even really gotten to like the worst of her storytelling. Like, we're here because the way she gets on camera and recounts everything is very insensitive and bad, but this is how she did it for the second, what she describes as a failed adoption. Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our next sponsor, and that's Cozy Earth.
Cozy Earth has made me have a realization that my sheets have been lackluster my entire life until I got Cozy Earth. They're the softest, most comfortable sheets I've ever used in my entire life.
Yeah, I love the sheets so much that recently I just decided I could not live without having the matching duvet. So of course I used our code, went on Cozy Earth, got their duvet, and I'm so excited to have it because being wrapped in just a cocoon of Cozy Earth sounds absolutely delightful.
And then you add the pajamas on top of it.
I was just wearing them last night. Absolutely glorious.
Their dream. And they feel so classy. I feel like I'm like at like a fancy hotel or a spa or something when I'm wearing them.
Yeah, everything on Cozy Earth is designed with breathable, temperature regulating materials that truly feel like a cloud. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. Everything I've ever gotten from Cozy Earth has been such a pleasure to fall asleep with.
And I feel like they're all super lightweight, which is nice, but then still keep you warm. It's very confusing. I don't really understand the science, but they've cracked the code.
And they're obviously confident that you're going to love it as well because they have a 100-night sleep trial, okay? And returns are super easy with Cozy Earth, but we're pretty sure once you try it, you're definitely not going to want to return it.
And they also have a 10-year warranty. So once you decide you're going to keep them forever, you can have a warranty to back it up.
So if you guys want to try out Cozy Earth for yourself, you can head over to CozyEarth.com and use our code DWKT for up to 20% off.
That's CozyEarth.com using the code DWKT and you'll get 20% off. And they'll also give you a post-purchase survey and just tell them that the girlie sent you.
And thank you so much to Cozy Earth for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
This was the moment we had to decide whether to hand a newborn baby back or fight to keep her. And I know that this story is probably going to be controversial. From the comments on my last video, I can tell people very strongly feel one way or another about adoption. But my goal is to share what actually happened to us. And until you're put in the very situation that we were, you never really know how you'll respond. So Monday afternoon, we got a call from our agency's owner. Let's call him Bob. He said, "Hi, Lindsay, it's Bob. And unfortunately, I don't have great news to share with you." The second he said that, my heart dropped. I immediately ran outside to grab my husband, who was dealing with contractors working on our house. And we put the phone on speaker. And then Bob told us that the baby's presumed father had been calling the agency since Saturday night, the day that we actually took her home, trying to get his daughter back. He said, "Currently, there is no man that has legal rights to this child because there's not anybody listed on the birth certificate. So you have two options.
You can give the baby back to the birth mom, or you can let this play out and see if he's actually serious about pursuing his rights. We've seen this go both ways. Immediately, our first thoughts were, wait, give the baby back to a mom who just asked us to care for her child forever? Spencer chimed in and he was furious. He said,
do you not get the vibe that she's absolutely, not that this is like something you can't do, because like I get that like some people aren't necessarily great at public speaking and they want to have their thoughts organized ahead of time, but she's reading this.
I don't know if she's reading it. She definitely maybe rehearsed it in front of her mirror or the shower or something.
No, like it's definitely like one of those like little like impromptu teleprompters.
You think she has a prompter?
She's barely blinking. Like she's reading this. Like absolutely.
Allegedly, in our opinion.
Yes, of course.
Not that
that's
that really.
What I mean by absolutely.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I guess I didn't really get that vibe. I definitely got the vibe that she knew what, like, this feels more rehearsed than the last one that we watched, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm comparing it to. It's that this feels like she is reading words how she wrote them,
right,
not how she actually talks.
This guy has been calling all weekend, and you're just now telling us 48 hours later. Bob told us they intentionally didn't reach back out to him until that morning, and they wanted to return his call after things had calmed down. In our eyes, the agency had completely failed us.
Oh yeah, she is reading. Yeah, you're right. Now that I just paid attention to the cadence and like her eyes are kind of shifting, yeah, it does sound like she's reading.
They withheld that information. The moment they knew something was happening, we should have been told immediately about that. We had just told the entire family the night before that we had a baby. We had sent texts to friends that very day and people were planning a baby shower for us.
Okay, well,
Sorry
that they jumped the gun a little. Like, yeah.
It reminds me of that one family that we covered recently. What was it that she threw like a baby shower for something that was like she didn't have the baby?
The foster
yet.
Kids.
Yes, the foster kids. I understand being excited and sharing it with your family, but like you just brought a newborn home and you're already planning a baby. Like, first of all, a baby shower? Is that like, can you do that after? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know the protocol, but like it just seems weird, especially for the baby, like overwhelming. Like, why are you like having a party?
I think I missed. So she's saying that she got this after they brought the baby home.
Yeah, the baby was home for a few days and then the dad was like calling over the weekend and the whole thing started happening once they had already brought the baby home.
I mean, again, I think, yeah, that's unfortunate for them.
For sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like you kind of know that that's a possibility, don't you? Again, like the adoption isn't finalized when you leave the hospital.
I mean, I could see how it would be alarming because the birth mom is the one who was like, absolutely, like, this is what I want. And then the dad comes out of nowhere and is like, well, I want the baby too. You know what I mean? Like that could definitely, again, it could be alarming. It could be crazy and you could feel like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on? But nobody is entitled. Here's the thing. Nobody's entitled to anyone's baby. Like, even if you are promised something or whatever, like, that's their child.
Things happen.
Unfortunately, the reality is that whether you think they're better off or not with their parents, that father also has rights. So, like, if the mom, let's say, gave up that baby for adoption without informing the father, like, he has rights.
That's what I was
going to
ask. Yeah, because she said no one's on the birth certificate. It's like, did he know? Did he maybe just find out?
Yeah.
And then now he's like, well, fuck, I want the baby. Like, then, yeah, absolutely, he should be able to take it.
Yeah, it's definitely jarring for her. You like, yeah, you brought the baby home and stuff,
but then like playing the sympathy card for like, oh well, my friends already were planning me a baby shower, like that's not the sympathy I have for you.
No like, definitely not.
If you want any sympathy, it's gonna be like, that's unfortunate because I know you like thought that this actually went through and it worked, but like not that, oh, you told your friends.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we'll tell them something new now.
Yeah, no, and at the same time, this does fall back on the agency. Why wasn't the agency properly vetting that if a father was not in the picture, that is actually what was happening? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There was this dark cloud looming over everything. Our heads were spinning as we were told this news that we may lose our precious little baby Kit. So we hung up the phone, we cried, we prayed about what God wanted us to do. Here we had the birth mom who had chosen us to love and care for and protect this child. She had signed over her irrevocable rights for this child over to us and place this baby in our care. If we just handed the baby back 2 days later, were we really honoring the promises of loving and protecting this child?
Oh, fuck off.
And then you had the presumed father who chose not to be at the hospital. He walked away from this child, not even caring that he wouldn't be listed on the birth certificate. So the options felt impossible for us. Do we give the baby back to a mother who said she didn't have the means to care for her, or hand her off to a complete stranger who legally had no rights to this baby? After 2 days with this little girl, we had already felt so much love and incredibly protective over her. We felt there was purpose in us caring for her, and it was our job to love and protect her for as long as she was in our care. And what happened next made the situation even more complicated.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, the cliffhanger.
I can't. But also, she positioned them as like, again, like they're martyrs, that they're like doing this because they're protective of the baby. I'm like, to act like it's not them wanting to keep the baby for selfish reasons, whether that's justifiable or not, like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. She did this like vlog too. Well, it's like a vlog style where she's showing the baby's first few weeks. Which, like,
of course she did.
That's not, especially if that baby is no longer in your custody at all. Like, can you maybe not? Like, I just think that
that's
is weird.
What this whole thing is giving the typical, like, it's more about they want the image of, like, they want to be parents. They don't actually want to parent.
Right.
Over the next few weeks, the birth father kept calling the agency trying to stop the adoption. But when the agency spoke to the birth mom privately, she said she wanted the adoption to go through and that she looked forward to seeing her daughter at the very first.
There are two parents and each one has a certain amount of rights depending on the state and all that stuff. Yes, I understand that the mom usually has more rights than the father, and that some states like Georgia, even you, like if you're not married, which it's so fucking weird. I think I've said this before, where if you're married, you're automatically assumed to be the father. And if you're not married, you have to prove paternity to exercise your rights as a parent.
Which, I mean, that is understandable that you would have to do regardless. But the fact that you would assume that it's the father just because of marriage is
like
crazy.
If you have an affair and you have a child, no, your husband's the dad, no matter what.
Yeah, no, that's wild.
Yeah. But like, yeah, there is two parents, and I feel like just even despite laws, despite everything, like I feel like most people should just understand that it takes two people to make a baby. I think both should have decisions. Obviously it is the woman's body and they are the ones that are incubating this baby to full term,
but if the baby got brought into the world,
then they both
now
have
there's
a say.
Two parents.
Exactly.
So to back up just a little bit, the reason why they chose adoption to begin with was because they were very young. They had three kids. The father
not
didn't
the
have
backstories.
A job, and most of the responsibility fell on the mom, who was working 70-hour weeks. They didn't feel like they had the support and the means to care for another child and wanted a better life for her than they could provide. She had just had a baby 11 months ago and was barely keeping it together. So we were hearing two different stories, and we were completely stuck in the middle trying to best navigate.
What were the two stories? You just told us one.
Yeah, she's saying from the woman's perspective, I think, from the mom. But like what is confusing to me is she is saying that they live together. They have three kids. So obviously then he would have known that she was pregnant and that she was giving birth and stuff. But I also know that couples lie to each other all the time. And if they had three kids, and let's say he had to take care of the three kids, and she's like, okay, I'm going to the hospital, and then like gives the baby away. You know what I mean? Like, I know that there are certain situations that could be deceitful, you know, one way or another. So like,
and she's definitely not giving the full picture from his perspective.
No, because if he's calling and fighting for weeks and weeks and is obviously panicking, being like, that's my kid.
Yeah, that doesn't give the vibes of someone that was just like, whatever, I don't care.
Definitely not.
These uncharted waters and take care of Kit at the same time. While all this was going on, the only thing that kept us grounded was being present with her. She had her first blowout all over my shirt.
Of course, you took
a picture. I arranged for her to receive donor breast milk so she could have the best nutrients possible.
Why are you showing her?
We had her on a probiotic and a routine to help her clear her thrush.
Oh my God.
On her tongue.
What is any of this? Like,
yeah, now she's showing that she has thrush on her tongue with her mouth open. Like, why do we know that? Why are you telling us any of this? This is not your child.
Yeah.
We even took her to the chiropractor and had her adjusted a few times. We had newborn pictures taken, and she was immediately a baby model. We sang to her. Ugh. We danced with her. We took her on family walks.
Hey, be careful with that beard. You're going to give her some rug
burn. We dressed her up. Literally, like, you're talking about her like she's a doll.
An accessory, yeah. Which, it doesn't mean, like, newborn weeks, the first few weeks and stuff, yes, there are a lot of crazy moments and, like, sleep-deprived moments, but it is so beautiful, and I understand enjoying that. But, like, she was a little baby model. Like, it's just giving weird. It's giving toddlers and tiaras.
We took her on walks, we dressed her up, we did this. It's like, okay.
And she fit inside a pumpkin. She cheered on the frogs. She was an absolute angel baby, sleeping 3 to 5 hour stretches. Our families held her and loved on her. Our church community prayed over her and showered us with diapers and gifts. Our dog was even enamored by her. We loved her with every ounce of our being. And through all of it, our prayer was always the same. We trust in your plan, no matter how painful it may be. Thy will be done for her life. I also cried out daily to God, God, make a way. God, make a way. And when we thought things had started to settle, everything unraveled.
Oh, here we go. Here we go with the fucking cliffhanger. It is kind of interesting to pray essentially every single day and cry out to God that this baby will not be reunited with their birth parents.
She contradicts herself because she says first they pray that everything is for the baby. Like, they just want the best for the baby, implying that, like, if that means that we have to give her back, even if it's painful, we just want the best for the baby.
Yeah.
But then immediately after, she's like, but then I also was praying, like, God, find a way for us to keep this baby, basically.
It seems like her priorities are her and her wants and her needs. I don't know that that is the best option to adopt. Like, and I hate it because I'm like, I'm not somebody that has adopted and I probably won't adopt. Like, I don't think that that's right for my family and just like us in general as people. Like, I don't know. I don't know that I could do it. But like, if you do decide you're going to do it, like, you have to be ready for that.
It takes a special kind of person.
It takes a special kind of person. It really fucking does. And I feel like either it takes a special kind of person or it takes someone that's like, I just want a baby. And they just do it because that's what they want.
Yeah.
And they just want that result. And that is not good. That doesn't
well, and that's I said from the beginning, all of her reasoning and like why they should keep the baby, she acts like it's for the best of the baby, but it really comes across as like, no, they just selfishly want to be parents.
If you've been following this adoption story, this is the moment we realized we were going to lose her. Over the next few weeks, we were on the phone with the agency and lawyers constantly waiting to see if the birth father would actually take steps in order to claim his daughter. As far as we could tell, he was all talk and hadn't hired a lawyer. To our knowledge, he hadn't signed.
They didn't have money. Wasn't that like one of their struggles?
Yeah, that's
it's not that easy.
It feels kind of gross to also be like, well, he didn't file the right paperwork. And it's like, well, should he have had to?
Yeah. I mean, sure, if you want to say like, yeah, there's steps and stuff, whatever. Okay. But like hiring a lawyer is a very, very big step that like financially does not make sense for a lot of people. And a lot of people drop things when they realize how expensive it's going to be. You know what I mean? Like they just can't pursue that.
When what if you found out that like you were adopted, but your dad tried to keep you and just couldn't afford to do it?
Yeah.
And not couldn't afford to take care of you. Couldn't afford to fight legally to get you, like that's crazy.
And then add on to that that your adoptive parents are equating that with, well, your dad didn't care, didn't want you that bad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's fucked.
All of these videos, even if they did get to keep the baby, if this baby grows up and then looks back and watches these, this is horrible.
Well, any way that you look at it, it's horrible because you're showing her face, you're sharing her story, and that is her story to tell. Your story of adoption is your literal story to tell. I don't even think it's the adoptive parents or the biological parents. Like, that's the kid's story to tell their friends or whoever they want to tell in their life. Like, I just think it's so fucked that she's just sitting here leaving cliffhangers, pretending this is a story time. And then all the while the message is, oh, this sucked for us. And it's like, okay.
And before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Are you one of those people that actually likes your money? Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers like your money too. So if you're tired of spending hundreds on crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote unquote free perks that cost you more in the long run, then a premium wireless plan from Mint Mobile for $15 a month might be right for you.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just overpay for their wireless because that's how it's always been and you're just used to it. But there's a better option now. It's only $15 a month.
Yeah, and all of Mint Mobile's plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
And you can bring your existing phone and phone number and you just activate with an eSIM within minutes and you can start saving immediately. And there's also no long-term contracts or hassle.
Yeah, I've said it before. One of my brothers uses Mint Mobile and he's always talking about how good his service is for a fraction of the price that the rest of the family is paying, and he's on to something.
He is. So if you like your money, Mint Mobile is definitely for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/DWKT. That's mintmobile.com/DWKT.
An upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options are available. Taxes and fees are extra. See Mint Mobile for details. And thank you so much to Mint Mobile for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
From the beginning, we always said if he took the legal steps to fight for her, we would give her back. So we asked the agency to set up a call with him so we could speak to him directly. The phone call lasted about 20 minutes, and he was aggressive and combative, barely letting us speak. We told him we would give the baby back immediately if he just took a DNA test. We just needed proof that he was actually the father, because to us, he was a complete stranger. At first he agreed, but then he changed his mind and said, "I ain't no lab rat." He told us he was happy to drag this out in court and didn't care how long it took, and to us that spoke volumes. We hung up that call with no resolution and honestly feeling even more protective of her. But later that afternoon, everything changed.
Let me guess.
The agency received proof.
I was like, let me guess, it ends here with a cliffhanger, but no, yeah, she actually kept going. What a miracle.
I'm so sick of it.
That 2 weeks after the baby was born, he had gone to the courthouse with the birth mom and signed an acknowledgement of paternity to get his name added to the birth certificate. At that moment, we were told we had no legal path forward.
Yeah, well, the fact that she was like, oh, we just told him he had to take a paternity test, like, to prove that he was the dad. It's like, well, would he have had to do that, though, if he had signed the birth certificate immediately, like, in the hospital? Because I feel like they don't make you do that.
No. Literally, any man can show up and just sign the birth certificate, and they will legally be acknowledged as the father.
Yeah. So to act like, you just have to give us a paternity test. Like, you're not the mom.
Yeah.
So it's like, that already felt like icky. And then to have like, oh yeah, no shit, you have no legal ground moving forward because he's the dad. And like, I can't even believe this is a conversation.
I don't know. It's weird because it's like she is kind of setting up the goalpost and like letting him know what she wants when that's really not how anything works. Like there usually is a way that they deal with these situations. And it seems like she just wanted her terms met, which do I think it's normal to be like, are you actually, I don't even know you. Like, are you the dad? Like, this is kind of crazy. I kind of do think that's normal.
Like, why would a random dude be trying so hard to get custody
of this baby? That's true, too. That's true, too. But people are weird and crazy. I can see it both ways where I'm just like.
Yeah. Between the two, though, it's more likely that it's like, no, it's probably actually
the dad. Yes, of course.
We had to return her immediately or we could be sued. And just like that, we had 24 hours left with her. We held her and cried and squeezed her as tight as we could, and then arranged to speak with the birth mom on the phone. And due to the legality of the situation, we were required to return Kit to the birth mom instead of the father because the paperwork hadn't processed. On that call, we got more clarity over the entire situation and scheduled to meet the birth mom the next evening. I'll save that story for another day.
Oh, God. Of course you will. Okay, so somebody commented, the U.S. adoption system and social services system is so broken. No one is owed anyone else's baby. You are assuming he had the means to hire a lawyer. He already had 3 kids and couldn't afford another. Imagine if the U.S. was a place where resources were provided to support families and keep them together. Honestly, good for him for not giving up. I would be mad too if strangers were refusing to give my child back after I fought from the beginning to keep my baby. And she responded, he kept saying he was hiring a lawyer. He could have represented himself. He didn't need a lawyer, but constantly said he was getting a lawyer.
That answer alone is so weird. Not acknowledging that, yeah, you shouldn't have to hire a lawyer to retain, like, guardianship of your own child.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Someone else commented, hi, Lynn's Jax. Have you guys looked into surrogacy? That could potentially be another great option for you to create your family, which is an interesting way to word it. But yeah, I guess create your family is what she's trying to do.
But they do seem like people that should be doing that because then they would have the, like, ownership over the situation.
And it seems like that's what she needs and craves. Yeah. And maybe adoption is not going to give that to her.
Gotten a lot of people sliding into my DMs asking me if they could be my surrogate. And while I'm so appreciative, I don't actually need a surrogate. When you're in your 20s, you have beautiful, young, healthy eggs. I just got married later in my 30s. So therefore, my egg quality declines as you get older. We started trying right away and ended up going the IVF route after not having any success. We did 4 rounds that got us 2 embryos. Of those 2 embryos, only one of them was genetically viable. So we transferred that embryo in January of last year. Unfortunately, it didn't take, and I cried a lot during that time. And so we felt like the path of adoption, that door was opening for us. When people ask about surrogacy, it's not even about us needing somebody to carry. I can still carry. we just are never able to get the embryos to even get to that place. Thank you to the crazy internet world, because that is so kind.
Why does she not realize that if she could carry, you can also like get an egg donor?
Donor eggs. Yeah.
Hello? What world am I living in right now? Like,
wouldn't that be your preferred option then?
And I'm not here to tell anyone what to do with their body, but it just really seems like the door opening of adoption was just like, oh, we can get a baby quickly. Cool. Let's do that one.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I don't see why she wouldn't.
Realistically, everything how that she has framed it seems like that would be the most,
yeah,
like logical option for them.
Okay. Now, in this video, she shares what was stolen from her. Okay. So she feels in these scenarios that something was stolen.
Yes.
Which is an interesting way to phrase it in this situation.
Yeah. One, even one more thing about the like donor egg. It kind of gives like, well, I could carry the baby, but like if it's not my baby, then like
that might is as well what just she's get it giving. From. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, it can't be my egg, so I'll just take someone else to carry it because it's their
like,
baby.
Why would I put my body through that if it's not going to be mine?
Okay. So it says on screen, this is to a song. Of course it is. It says, what was stolen from you? And then
that's crazy.
It's her telling people the adoption went through or whatever, and it's her family excited and reacting.
Well, technically you did get it because you're showing us right now, but also again, this is just such a selfish,
yes,
like
you wanted the attention from your family, which yes, everybody loves that moment that you can tell your family like, I am pregnant, or I'm having a baby, or I'm adopting a baby. Everybody, it's a beautiful moment.
Yeah,
but like that wasn't stolen from you. Granted, if you would have kept the baby, that would have been stolen from the mother. She wouldn't have had that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a sad situation for somebody, no matter the result. So maybe just have some decorum and don't complain about it on TikTok. And all of this brings us to the third and final adoption that has fallen through. And this is the one that is why we're gathered here today. I'm telling you, I think she just gets some zestiness. Every single time she tells the story or like a
she
new
gets
story.
A little more confident.
Yeah.
We were sitting in the hospital room. The baby's father looked at me and said, so are you excited? And I remember pausing and thinking, that's kind of a strange question for me to answer. What? Here I am. Of course, I'm excited, but also feeling very cautious. How was I supposed to answer this question? Because adoption starts from loss, and they were about to lose their child, and I was the one that was going to be taking their child away. So there's this weird juxtaposition in the hospital room where joy and grief are sitting side by side. And something I had never heard anyone talk about before was how to best navigate the dynamic in the hospital room with the birth parents. Originally, the plan was that the birth mom and her sister would be at the hospital and we would be in the delivery room. And here I was speaking to this 18-year-old birth father who wasn't even supposed to be there, but the baby happened to be born on a Saturday where he didn't have to work. So he ended up coming to the hospital later that afternoon. Because there's this 48-hour waiting period, everything sits with this really heavy tension for 2 days while the baby goes back and forth between the rooms. On one hand, you want them to have time with their baby because they're about to experience such loss, and you want your child to know that the birth parents love them enough to hold them and take care of him. At the same time, you start to feel this protectiveness growing in you because this is your baby and you want to bond with him. So who holds the baby? How long does the baby stay in your room? Is it okay to ask for the baby back? Who's making the medical decisions? It's such a complicated and emotional space to sit in. I'll share later the signs that I could have recognized that this might be going in the other direction than all of us had originally planned.
Oh my God. The fucking cliffhanger teaser. Like,
I know.
Absolutely not.
So it's so inappropriate considering the fact that she could easily have merged all of these into like two videos max on TikTok.
Oh my God. That whole thing was also weird because like that's kind of the first time she's acknowledging that there is that dynamic where it's like there's such loss and also she's like can be excited. But like to act like they're being super empathetic to the loss after literally the last baby, like not wanting to give it back to the birth father who was asking for it. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Now this video says on screen, we got the call at 3:45 a.m. that she was in labor. And it's to music again. Oh my God, she really loves her worship music. It says, we believed this adoption was different.
Oh my God, she's running.
But 48 hours later, we got the call for the third time that she chose to parent.
Yeah, girly, I'm gonna say maybe get a new agency.
Literally. And then also, she's like showing the baby, zooming into their face. Like, it's just,
And this is like also not that it would make it better to be showing the baby at all, like even if they did keep it, but like
it just makes you're it showing extra the baby egregious.
No way, like retroactively when you still you know at this point yeah. that like it's not yours, yeah. not your baby, and you're still showing.
It's so inappropriate. Like the skin to skin with Mr. Beard over here, like it's just like yeah. so
no, it's fucking weird.
And also to just put a broken heart by like she decided to parent. It's like yeah. she was always, regardless of whether you adopted that baby or not, she was always going to be that baby's biological parent.
Correct.
You don't decide yeah. that is just what it is. So like yes, she decided to not give the baby to you to be their guardian for the rest of their life. Like that's a big decision, and that's why they'd give you the 48 hours in the hospital, because she has the right to have that time and decide.
Even she said at one point something about like, oh well, the baby needs to know that their parents like wanted right. them enough or like loved them enough to hold them. And it's yeah. like if a kid is mad that their parents gave them up for adoption, it's not gonna be like, well, they held you in the hospital, and suddenly that's gonna alleviate any of their emotional turmoil from it.
Yeah. Someone commented, I think you and your energy may have played a huge role in their decision. And I could see that too. Like she's got kind of a vibe on her, you know what I mean? Especially if she was saying that you start feeling protective over the baby, and like how long are they in their room, and like when are they coming back to my room, and what, who makes medical decisions? Maybe she was overbearing and stressed them the fuck out, and they were like, actually this is not the person. Like she should not be the one to adopt my baby. Now this video is the main one that got her in trouble, because she's reflecting on the red flags that she missed.
Oh, what she teased earlier.
Yes.
Looking back, I'm still trying to figure out if these were red flags
or paranoia,
or if this was just us being paranoid. We were working with 18 and 19 year old birth parents that we had never met before, and the birth mom had been counseled by the agency
also back something that's
in December
weird.
And started creating this adoption plan.
I think she just confirmed what we have been thinking, because she said the birth mother had been counseled by the agency. That gives religious agency that is like, oh, you're too young to have a baby. Give it here. Come on.
The baby was due at the beginning of February. The birth mom already had a 1.5-year-old, and her husband was getting ready to enlist in the Navy, which meant she was going to mostly be raising her son by herself, pretty much as a single mom. She told us that she chose adoption because she didn't feel like she had the resources or the mental capacity at 19 years old to raise two kids. At the time, all of this made sense to us. But when we got to the hospital, little things started happening. The birth father ended up staying at the hospital all weekend, even though originally he had said he wouldn't be able to be there at all. When we asked our caseworker how...
That had a red flag underneath it.
Yeah.
So, and even I meant to bring that up the first time she mentioned it. She said at one point that like, well, he wasn't originally supposed to be there, but he didn't have work that day. And it's like...
No, that's this adoption. So, but in the first adoption that she was telling the story as well, it was something about the birth father not... Like, that was Mario and Burrito. That was when they weren't supposed to come over, and then they did. So I think that in her mind, she's registering... birth father here, they're gonna keep the baby.
I guess, but like that's crazy to be like, he wasn't supposed to be there, right. As if he like that's wasn't allowed to be there. And it's
yeah,
like,
he's allowed to be there.
He didn't have work, so he got to be like, are you kidding? Yeah. That's a good thing.
Caseworker, how are we to best navigate the back and forth? She said, the baby will stay with you, and when the mom wants to see the baby, she'll just ask the nurse for the baby back. That all sounded fine. But then they started keeping the baby in the room for 5 or 6 hours at a time, while we were just in the other room, just sitting and waiting. And then her family members started showing up to the hospital and just hanging out in their room for hours. After being in the hospital for 36 hours, the birth mom kept asking about being discharged before the 48-hour wait period she was going to sign, which meant she would either need to sign a third-party release form for the agency to have custody of the baby, or she leaves the hospital with the baby and then she would sign the next day. So you tell me, honestly, would you have seen those as red flags?
Referring to them as red flags is weird.
Yeah. Why do you think she's referring to it as that? Because she's just like, oh, like, these were signs I wasn't going to get my baby. Like, it's like,
exactly.
You know? Now, it says on this TikTok, we woke up and realized this baby wasn't coming home with us, which just a choice of words. I can't. It's giving something very, it's giving, oh, you know what it's giving? It's giving Serena Joy from Handmaid's Tale. Like, it's giving, it's like, this is our baby.
You were supposed to give us this baby. Yeah. And I can't say for sure, like, I don't know them. Maybe they were very heartbroken each time the baby was taken away. But again, was that heartbroken over like the loss of their dream of being like a family, or the actual baby itself? Yeah. Like, it seems pretty replaceable to you though, because it's like, then you get a new one, you're like, oh, This is the one.
Let me tell my whole family again and peace out to the other baby. And now this one is going to be like, it just feels so inauthentic. And I feel like I've seen other people talk about things like this. Like I've mentioned before, a family called Them Hoffers on TikTok who have actually adopted multiple of the kids who they fostered and they're no longer fostering anymore. But just the way that she talks about things and shares things feels so emotionally connected to like what she's doing. And it makes sense why like she's a foster parent and like that her adoptions, although like it's amazing and you form this bond, like the sadness of like for their life and like their parents, you know what I mean? That they didn't get to get reunified. Like it just seems like she actually gives a shit about the kids and how they're going to be affected from it. And then there's people like this where it's like, I don't think she even gives a flying fuck about the kids, like how they're going to perceive
this. If it's not hers, especially, she doesn't care anymore.
Oh no, for sure.
Our adoption fell apart because of a conversation that we weren't even in the room for. Before a birth mom is discharged, a social worker has to have a conversation with her to make sure she understands her rights and isn't being pressured.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be in the room for that.
And then the adoption is truly her decision. The caseworker asked the birth mom if she felt comfortable answering the questions in front of her family. Now, this birth mom was what I would call a yes girl. She never voiced her own opinions. She was always looking to defer to anybody else to make decisions. So, of course, she said yes, not realizing the kind of questions that she was about to be asked. Then the caseworker starts asking her things like, do you have family support while she's sitting in the room in front of her own family? Why are you choosing adoption? Do you feel like you've had enough time to think about this decision?
You do realize these are standard questions they ask to everybody, right?
She's arguing that it's like, I don't know by who, but like manipulative to ask in front of her family. But it's like, could it also be argued that it's manipulative to make sure that the family isn't there so they can't influence her decision? Like,
she invited them to the hospital. She approved for those people to be there. I'm assuming that as much as you think she's a yes girl and just says yes to everything, which by the way, then I'm really happy that she said no, because it seems like somebody counseled her into saying yes to giving up her child, and that's not what she truly wanted. So I'm glad that the yes girl stood up for herself and was like, absolutely not. But like, even the way she's talking about her is so diminishing. Like, she doesn't even see the birth mother as like people, or the birth father. Like, it just feels like they're like incubators for her.
Insinuating that they should have been in the room for this conversation, or like that they should have been involved in this decision. I'm like,
absolutely not.
That's not up to you. Go away. But then also, didn't she just say that she didn't meet the birth mother before they were even in the hospital?
Yeah.
So like, how do you know she's a yes girl?
Yeah, because she's a judgy bitch. That's why.
Yeah, like you've known her for how long? Yeah. And you're already making all these assumptions?
You understand that you're not required to sign anything today. Has anyone pressured you to make this decision? After the caseworker finished asking all of these questions, she stormed into our room and said, I need to speak with you. Ooh. They stepped out of the room into the hallway, and my husband ran up to the door to listen to see what was happening. He heard the counselor saying, you've had 10 minutes with her and you chose to ask her very personal questions in front of her family that has now compromised her decisions and influenced her.
Who's asking her this?
I don't know. Her storytelling. Okay, hold on. The caseworker.
The nurse? Maybe
comes into her room.
Has anyone pressured you to make this decision? After the caseworker finished asking all of these questions, she stormed into our room and said, I need to speak with you.
To who? To her?
Yeah. And then she said her husband was listening.
What the fuck?
Why would it just be to her?
Crap.
They stepped out of the room into the hallway.
They stepped out of the room into the hallway. Who's they? Oh, God.
No, didn't she say we?
And my husband ran up to the door to listen to see what was happening. He heard the counselor saying, you've had 10 minutes with her and you chose to ask her very personal questions.
Okay,
wasn't
counselor.
The caseworker the one asking the questions?
Yes, but I'm assuming now counselor maybe seems like somebody on behalf of her agency who would be upset at the caseworker for asking those questions in front of the family.
Okay.
That's what I'm gathering, because counselor doesn't
mean
caseworker.
And that's why the counselor would be in their room, because she's
exactly.
on their side.
Yeah. I just don't think she clarified that right, but I do think that's who she's talking about.
Yeah, that was really confusing.
In front of her family that has now compromised her decisions and influenced her, and you're making a formal decision that she can parent based off those 10 minutes, she was mad. She said, I've been working with her for the last...
Whoa. It's not up to the caseworker to decide whether the mom can parent.
No.
That's not what this is.
But also, those are the questions she's required to ask. That is what she asks everybody in the same position. And then also, it's really says something that she's like, I have been working with her for the last 3 months, meaning like I have been like warming her up to this, like conditioning her, in my opinion, allegedly, to give this baby up. And now you're asking her these questions that are like really intense and making her think that like she can't do this. That is so telling
in front of the family. Yeah, typically when someone's making a big life decision, they're going to consult with their support system in their families. Yep. So like acting like it's manipulative to ask in front of them is crazy.
She has repeatedly told me that she is not physically or mentally in a place that she can handle this.
That's not up to you. This wasn't a CPS case.
Went back into the birth mom's room to clarify what she wanted to do moving forward. The birth mom said she just wanted to be discharged from the hospital. She was ready to go and leave. And however she needed to do that, she was willing to. The caseworker told her the only way she could leave the hospital was to take the baby home with her, which just wasn't true. So she agreed to take the baby home with her that night, and she said she would sign her relinquishment papers in the morning. Meanwhile, we obviously got discharged too. We went to a hotel and watched the Super Bowl and waited for the dreaded call the next day.
I can't.
Decided to parent. Go figure.
Okay, that sentence is what got her in a lot of trouble. People are taking that sentence and being like, go figure. She wanted to parent. Like, wow, amazing. It's like, that was her right. She had a right to choose that.
But she also is like framing it as like, they don't know if she was mentally fit or like able to care for the, like, this isn't a custody battle in that sense that it's like, oh, we have to prove that the mom
she
is
also
capable.
Didn't
like,
mention
no,
that she seemed not mentally sound in any way, shape or form. The worst you could say about her is that she's a yes girl.
Yeah,
none
now
of
it's
that gives
she's
anything.
Potentially not mentally sound because she wants to keep her baby.
No,
like,
this
that's
is
crazy.
Fucking insane.
She had decided to parent. Go figure. And the baby that we had just spent the last 36 hours believing was ours never came home with us.
Oh, cry me a fucking river. Now I'm mad.
Yeah, it's not your baby.
It's not your baby. Someone commented, adoptee here. I'm so glad you haven't been able to adopt. Like, literally, people are just like,
no,
godly. A lot of kids who were adopted are on her TikToks just being like, you're like the nightmare. Like, you're what people want as a parent.
Again, imagine growing up and your parents your whole life have told you, like, your parents didn't want you, basically. And then you find out later, no, my parents actually really wanted to keep me. And they were, like, convinced not to by a fucking church counselor or something.
Oh, my God. Her neck scarf. Okay.
Her outfits have been...
This.
Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Are you one of those people that actually likes your money? Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers like your money, too. So if you're tired of spending hundreds on crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that cost you more in the long run, then a premium wireless plan from Mint Mobile for $15 a month might be right for you.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just overpay for their wireless because that's how it's always been and you're just used to it. But there's a better option now. It's only $15 a month.
Yeah, and all of Mint Mobile's plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
And you can bring your existing phone and phone number and you just activate with an eSIM within minutes and you can start saving immediately. And there's also no long-term contracts or hassle.
Yeah, I've said it before. One of my brothers uses Mint Mobile and he's always talking about how good his service is for a fraction of the price that the rest of the family is paying, and he's on to something.
He is. So if you like your money, Mint Mobile is definitely for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/DWKT. That's mintmobile.com/DWKT.
An upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 GB plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options are available. Taxes and fees are extra. See Mint Mobile for details. And thank you so much to Mint Mobile for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is her responding to a comment that says, repeat after me. It is okay for a mom to change her mind and keep her baby. Does it hurt the quote unquote intended parents? Of course it does. But it's okay for mom to want to keep her baby. It is also very common for a mom to change her mind. And then it goes on.
Yes,
to continue.
Exactly.
What the
fuck is this?
I feel like I'm dreaming. This is not real. What do you mean she just shadow boxed? What?
After I shared that hospital story, a lot of
and then
people
goes into
had
a story
very
time.
Strong reactions. And I realized there are a lot of parts of adoption that people just don't see. People don't always realize that adoption agencies.
You do realize a lot of your comments are from adopted children, right?
It's giving like mansplaining.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't go looking for these birth moms. Women reach out to them because they're trying to
that
figure
doesn't
out
change
what
anything.
To do and exploring all their options. There are agencies out there that are more ethical than others, and throughout this process, we've seen some of the ugliness that comes from these agencies. When a birth mom carries a baby, gives birth, then decides she wants to parent, that is absolutely her right. I can't even imagine the emotional toll that moment must bring. And I have so much empathy for her. I truly do.
Interesting, do you?
But adoption is one of those situations where there are two completely different experiences happening at the same time. On one side, you have the mother making the hardest decision of her life. On the other side, you have a family that who has experienced a lot of infertility and has spent months preparing their home and their hearts for this baby. Sometimes even sitting in on doctor's appointments, sitting in the
hospital room.
That
doesn't fucking entitle you to their baby.
They're about to become parents. And I want to be really clear, no one going through adoption believes that they're entitled to someone else's child.
You know what's crazy is that in Handmaid's Tale, usually like at the doctor's appointments, like Serena would be there. You know what I mean? And the dad would be there because they were so excited for their baby inside of her. Like that is not giving what I think she thinks it's giving. It's giving you wanted to see your baby, your child. You know what I mean? Like it's just
you wanted to feel involved because you know you're not.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, I don't know. It feels so icky.
At the end of my last video, I said, she decided to parent. Go figure. And some people thought that meant I was angry about her decision.
Stop
it. But what people new to the story missed is that this was actually our third adoption failure.
We knew that.
So you were.
5 months. At that point, we were emotionally exhausted and honestly just starting to expect that something like this might fall apart again. So when we got the call that she chose to parent, we weren't angry at her. We were just not shocked anymore. Experiences like this really showed us how important counseling and support is on the front end. These are huge decisions, and the more guidance people have while processing through everything, the better for everybody involved. Adoption is complicated. A birth mom choosing to parent can absolutely be the right decision for her and her baby, and it can still be heartbreaking for the family who hoped.
Yes, but you don't have to come on TikTok and show their face and fucking cry about it and bitch about and tell the intricate details of the birth mother's story that is not yours to tell. You don't have to do any of this. So like, don't shadow box us, bitch. It's not our fault, okay?
Well, and yeah, like again, no one's arguing that that wouldn't be like a disappointing hard thing for the adoptive parents to not end up being the adoptive parents. But you did a story time.
Yeah.
So like,
several.
You were saying, like, people thought I was angry. And then her first thing is like, what you don't understand is we've gone through this three times, as if to be like, so we're justified in being angry.
Yeah. But like, also like, how does she not realize that it's super fucked just at the base level? Can't she acknowledge that showing those children? Like, imagine you're taking that baby. You're saying, I'm actually not going to put it up for adoption. And the person who was supposed to adopt them is showing them all over TikTok. Like, that is so bizarre. Yes. And simultaneously telling your story. Like, I just feel like the fact that she doesn't understand that, just like on a base level, is insane to me.
Well, and yeah, she's talking about like the rights and like who's making the medical decisions. And it's like kind of like gray area, blah, blah, blah. Is it a gray area though? I feel like they still have authority and like you don't have authority, which is crazy that before she agreed to give the baby up, you were filming it and pretending it was yours.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah. And somebody commented, it is deeply troubling that you only talk about two sides in adoption, i.e. the quote unquote birth mother and the prospective adoptive parents. You seem to forget the child. And then she says, if I were to speak about the child's perspective, people would troll on that because I'm not the child and haven't lived that experience.
The perspective you share on the child is, first of all, just considering that child's perspective, which it seems like you didn't. It's not sharing what you think the child's thinking. Like, come on. They're not being literal about it.
Exactly. They're saying you are not thinking about this child first. You are thinking about yourself first. And she's like, well, I'm not the child, so I don't know. And it's like, no,
it's like,
oh my God.
He doesn't have thoughts really yet.
Jesus Christ.
Well, fuck off, lady.
Yeah. Like, listen, I am not here to say who is and isn't allowed to be parents in life. Do I think some people should and some people shouldn't? Absolutely. As a parent myself, I do believe that. I just think that the way that she went about it and the way she continues to go about it and lack the self-reflection of like so many people are commenting, adoptive kids, adoptive parents, like everybody is weighing in here and telling her that basically the way she's going about this is horrendous. And she won't listen. Like, that to me is not a very promising potential adoptive mom.
Yeah, I feel like there's situations on the internet with internet hate where it absolutely can be like a bandwagon thing where it's like someone sees a comment and then it just they're regurgitating the exact same thing.
The parent
even if
syndrome.
That first comment didn't really come from something in the video they're responding to. The interesting part about this situation is that all of the comments are directly referencing things that she has said and calling out the problems with that. So this isn't a bandwagon like, oh, the haters are coming to get me. This is people all objectively agreeing on their own that like something is weird here.
Yeah. All in all, I really wish that adoption agencies would implement some sort of regulations with filming, with documenting, with talking about the process.
I think there could be state regulate, like state to state differences.
There ain't enough.
I know. Clearly there are those regulations in place some places, but it does feel like that should be like a widely adopted thing.
No pun intended.
And certainly when the 48 hours isn't even up and you aren't even the adoptive parents yet, you certainly should not be able to post that baby on social media.
No, absolutely not.
Hey, girlies. A little update, because just when we thought she couldn't get any worse, she did. I don't even know how to preface these clips that I'm about to show you, but I'll just start playing them. Here's the first one. The caption is, "I want to address the burrito in the room.
I know there's been some talk on the alias names that I gave the potential fathers, including the now infamous burrito. So I want to publicly set the record straight. His actual name was Taco.
Taco! Burrito! Burrito. What's coming out of your speedo? You got trouble!
Yeah. Don't know who told her that was a good idea, but here we are. Someone in the comments said, "Are you okay?" Which, I mean, valid question. And she responds, "Yes, speaking the truth feels great. What the actual fuck?" The next thing she posts, I have even less of an explanation for. So there's music playing, which will get copyrighted, but it is an AI clip with the caption, "The people have spoken," and it is her jumping on her husband's back with her dog also jumping around all excited. And then behind them is a group of AI people that are all wearing black shirts with different text on them. They're all carrying signs. I'll read a few. There's, "Burritos are racist," "Not a yes girl," "Pronouns don't fix adoption trauma," "Cancel adoption culture," "Adoption is trauma." The craziest one is, "Serena Joy fan club," "Hate adoption now," and "Smash the industry." Oh, and "Check your adoption privilege." Yes, and then also the people wearing the black shirts, some of them say ally, some of them say woke AF. One says dismantle the adoption system, and they all have rainbow hair. So I don't know what the fuck we're doing here, but like, this is insane. And in the comments, someone said, "I need to know what prompt you fed AI for this nonsense." And she responds, "I'll be selling my course. You can learn it there." What? So, I really don't know what she thought she was doing with this, what it was supposed to accomplish, how she thought this was going to go over. I don't know the answer to any of that. You would think she has to end it there, right? No, of course not. Because then in her next post, she teases a series that she's coming out with. I'll let her explain what it's about.
"Instead of blocking my haters, I'm going to start calling them. I'm serious. I'm starting a new series called Talk to Your Haters because I've realized something on TikTok. It's really easy to be harsh to somebody behind a screen, but most people have never actually had a real conversation about the things that they are so passionate with somebody that they've disagreed with. So instead of going back and forth in the comments, I want to talk. Like, actually talk. There has to be rules, though. It's got to be respectful conversation, no yelling, no attacking. You have to have an open, honest conversation. You have to also be following me so I can DM you. I'll be choosing a few people to be a part of the series. The call is going to be recorded. With your permission, I'll share it. So if you've disagreed with me or left a negative comment, I genuinely would love to hear your perspective. Or if you've seen somebody in my comments that you think I should talk to, tag them below. We're going to get on a call and I'll share the conversation here. My goal isn't to prove anyone wrong. It's just to create more understanding. Because when you actually talk to somebody, it's a lot harder to hate them. So, who should I call first? Comment below."
I've never seen someone like come off as so confident that like she really thinks she's doing something. And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess it's something. But oh my God, Jesus Christ. I don't really have a whole lot else to say. So I think we'll just wrap this up and I hate it here. Okay, back to us. Bye.
But anyway, that's pretty much it. Everyone is pissed at her. Everyone is weighing in and yikes. Am I right? Okay.
Shit.
Moving on. This isn't really a story, okay? What we're going to talk about is just a fun, tiny little journey. A little side quest, if you will.
But it is because of how it became a story, Basically. I'm sure that most of you have probably heard about this.
Yeah.
Although my friend was just visiting. He's from Florida, which is where this takes place. And he had no idea what I was talking
about. What? I literally thought this was like international news. Granted, there's a lot going on in the world right now. So I can see how some people might have missed it.
It appears not everyone is as chronically online as we are. This is basically, I don't even know how to frame it because it sounds so stupid, but this has now been proven to be a satirical post that like launched this to go viral.
And boy, did it grow legs because wowzers, it was everywhere. Everyone was talking about how bizarre the story was. And did I believe it a little bit? Yeah, I did for a brief moment.
I believed that it was a story. I didn't believe the content in the story, but I believed that like someone had reported this and actually it was a thing that someone claimed happened.
I definitely believed the content in the story a little bit. Just a little bit, just for a brief moment.
Well, the content that she is referring to is a satirical Facebook post about a Florida man that said he was kidnapped by dolphins and forced to build an underwater city.
Okay, I know just from that sounds ridiculous, but it wasn't that I believed. It was like the details that came out. Granted, did I look into them to know that they didn't really come from anywhere? No, I didn't. So I was just hearing the bits and pieces about like the hospital and stuff. We're gonna get into it, but like essentially he said that he was, what was he doing on the beach?
So here, this is the original post got posted March 4th, and it's now that we're filming this on the 18th. So like a few weeks ago. And like up until recently, people were still treating this as if it was like a legitimate news story. But it was a Facebook parody account called The Dude Humor Report. And they published this like breaking news police report that had the headline, Florida man found sunburned and disoriented on Sanibel Causeway, claiming he was, quote, kidnapped by dolphins and forced to build an underwater city.
Yeah.
And then it says, Lee County Sheriff's deputies responded to the Sanibel Causeway early Monday after a motorist reported a man standing on the shoulder, soaking wet and drawing blueprints in the sand.
Okay, I didn't read the full article either, okay? I just saw recaps on TikTok.
According to the police report, which didn't exist.
Right.
Ricky James Hollowell, 33, was found barefoot, severely sunburned, and only wearing his swim trunks. He told deputies that he had been, quote, taken against his will by a pod of dolphins 3 days ago and forced to work on what he called an underwater construction project.
Which obviously is bizarre, and many people would think, like, here was my thought process. I thought, okay, he definitely was experiencing some sort of psychosis or something where he thought that that's what happened. That was my initial thought. Now, it wasn't until it was revealed that he went to the hospital and essentially the doctors were wowed because he didn't show any of the things that would happen to your body if you were underwater for 3 days. But he says, okay, so what he says happened was that the main dolphin, Gerald, he was the one that was like the main form of communication. He said he communicated with these dolphins via clicks.
A series of clicks that he eventually learned to interpret.
Right, exactly. And then the dolphins created like an air pocket for him to be able to breathe underwater while he was building this. Now, the other part of the story that was believable was that he supposedly was some sort of engineer and that's why they chose him because he has like this history of like knowing how to build shit like this. And so I was like, damn, that does low-key sound. And dolphins are smart. So I was like, you know what? I don't know.
So wait, but back up for a second, because also, again, similar to what I mentioned in the last topic about how sometimes there are situations where like people jump on the bandwagon, they just like read a comment and go with that and they don't even like pay attention to the original story. I think that's why most people, including us, again, I didn't really think he was like a man. I didn't think there was a man underwater for 3 days building a city. Obviously, that wasn't realistic.
Right, of course.
But I thought that it was actual like police report that a man had said he did that. I didn't read the full post because this also says, when asked how he breathed underwater for 3 days, he said, Gerald handled that. I didn't ask questions. You don't question Gerald.
Yeah. It is just seem a little bit unbelievable.
Oh my God. And apparently they had taken him to a site approximately 40 feet below the surface.
Which is not possible because he didn't have like a freaking scuba diver gear.
But then they also claimed in the post that there was like things found in his lungs that like would only be there from being underwater.
That's what got me. I was like, damn, well, evidence is evidence, I suppose. And then it says he had drawn an elaborate blueprint in the sand that deputies described as, quote, detailed enough to be concerning, including what appeared to be condos, a town square, and a recreation center. He told officers he was released because, quote, the dolphins were satisfied with his work, but that Gerald said, quote, they'd be back for phase two. I do love it. Whoever did this, like whoever came up with this, honestly just geniuses. Like, this is super fucking funny.
Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Are you one of those people that actually likes your money? Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers like your money too. So if you're tired of spending hundreds on crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote unquote free perks that cost you more in the long run, then a premium wireless plan from Mint Mobile for $15 a month might be right for you.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just overpay for their wireless because that's how it's always been and you're just used to it. But there's a better option now. It's only $15 a month.
Yeah, and all of Mint Mobile's plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
And you can bring your existing phone and phone number and you just activate with an eSIM within minutes and you can start saving immediately. And there's also no long-term contracts or hassle.
Yeah, I've said it before. One of my brothers uses Mint Mobile and he's always talking about how good his service is for a fraction of the price that the rest of the family is paying, and he's on to something.
He is. So if you like your money, Mint Mobile is definitely for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/DWKT. That's mintmobile.com/DWKT.
An upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options are available. Taxes and fees are extra. See Mint Mobile for details. And thank you so much to Mint Mobile for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Obviously.
When I had said to Jesse that one of the main reasons... Oh, well, first, actually, let's finish some of the police report things because...
I'm so dead. It says the fake deputy points out, I've been with the sheriff's office 11 years. The blueprints were the part that got me. He had zoning. So they were... elaborate blueprints. I would be concerned as well.
It's too much. And then it said the sign off was Hallwell was transported for medical evaluation. Gerald was unavailable for comment.
Gerald was unavailable for comment is insane. I'm confused though because he was there for 3 days. They were satisfied with his work. And I think that was the first hole in the story where I was like, wait, but where is, like, is there a city under there? Like, what's going on?
Like, I think he just did the blueprints, but why did he need to be underwater for that?
Now, they did do, when they posted this, they did like a mock police report type of thing that I think is what really contributed to getting people convinced on this. And then forget it. It grew legs. People on TikTok were like, have you guys heard about this dolphin that kidnapped? And it, I mean, it was insane.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I told Jesse is, on one hand, like, most people think it's stupid and they're just like joking around about it. But there's also a group of people that are like,
I don't know. That was like, me. That was me, you know?
And then I told Jesse it's because I feel like there's been discussion around that there's a law that you can't like communicate with dolphins. It's basically, people say it's a law that you can't talk to dolphins.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is hilarious to me. Like, what does that mean? I need to know more. Yeah,
but so I'm pretty sure I looked it up and it was like, apparently there's the Marine Mammal Protection Act. It's illegal to quote unquote take any marine mammal, which is defined as harass, hunt, capture, collect, or kill. And harassment is like pretty broad because it's like you aren't allowed to like try and coax them to come over to you.
Okay.
So people have taken that and been like, you're not allowed to talk to dolphins as if like they're going to talk back.
Right,
but it's like,
right,
you're not allowed to like yell at a dolphin and try and get it to come over to you.
Right.
Yeah. And it's apparently like penalties up to like almost $40,000.
Jesus Christ.
I think people also frame it as like, you're not allowed to communicate with dolphins. And again, that means like you're not allowed to communicate using like hand gestures and stuff to like try and get it to come over and like engage with it. But people instead interpret that as like, dolphins can communicate with us. And like, that's how Gerald, he was clicking to communicate, but like, that's why they tell you don't talk to dolphins, because apparently they're going to make you build an underwater city.
It seems absolutely insane. I've even seen some people posting memes of what Gerald looks like, and they put like a full grill in like the dolphin's mouth, and like if he was some like head of a mafia type of, it was just very, very silly. But again, they did it in like this fake police report. They put a fake mugshot of the guy. or like you could see him. So you saw a person.
And it was on Facebook, which like, you know, the Facebook
they
crowd.
Love a good mugshot.
Anything up.
And then they also did like the fake quotes from the deputies and like all the people. So it just seemed pretty believable to people who like me, who are just scrolling and don't want to do any further research. And you're kind of down to believe this bizarre story. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, oh, whatever.
I didn't believe that actually there's a dolphin named Gerald that kidnapped this man and made him build an underwater city. Right. I didn't believe that aspect, right. But I believed that it all was stemming from an actual report.
Yes.
And I just found out when we decided we were going to cover it, because I thought it was just funny anyway. Then we found out that it's actually all based on like a satire post on a Facebook page that is known for their satire.
Right, right.
And like, it's not real at all. And then even, I guess, the police, the actual real police, came out with a statement and they said, while living in Lee County is paradise, we can confidently confirm that the underwater real estate market has not been tapped into yet. We checked with our newly implemented underwater construction investigation team and learned the dolphins of our oceans deny any involvement. Disclaimer, no dolphins were harmed in the making of this rumor.
Yeah, so obviously, even though it was fake and intentionally fake, this is one of those things where I'm like, what a silly, goofy moment on the internet. No harm, no foul. You know what I mean?
I know, right? I was like, rare W for police. They put out a funny statement.
Yes. But all in all, if you've heard that story about the guy who was building the underwater city and you were like me and thought,
or Gerald more specifically.
Yeah,
I feel
Gerald.
Like that's what everyone really clung on to.
Yeah. If you thought that that happened, I'm here to regretfully inform you that it did not. But fun times, am I right?
I think the person should write a book that came
out. I think
with
so
it.
Too. That was so fucking good. I loved it. Well, anyway, we love the internet, even though that could have been our we love the internet.
Like, I should find one of the posts of people like defending it, saying why they think it's real.
Oh my God. Stop
it. For my we love the internet.
But see, those people are just, joking too.
Not all of them. There were people I saw that genuinely believed it.
Okay, mine's gonna be another dog. I feel like I'm on a roll lately. This
love
is
it.
Teeny Tiny Tony on vacation.
Teeny Tiny Tony.
It's Teeny Tiny Tony on vacation.
Oh
it's
my
teeny,
God.
It's Teeny Tiny Tony on vacation. It's teeny tiny Tony on vacation.
I love that. Teeny Tiny Tony
Someone
on vacation.
Someone give Teeny Tiny Tony a show.
He's not even that teeny tiny, but I love him so much.
This, the more I looked at, when something's just so cute, it's not even cute aggression. It's like, I just want to cry because it's just, I can't handle it.
Are you ready? Do we go inside and see the vet? You're not thrilled about it?
Oh my God.
You go see the vet?
No. Oh my God, the cheeks.
I know, I want to squish them.
I don't blame you.
First of all, his head is like big, but the body's so tiny. It's so cute.
His cheeks, and they're squishable. God. And I want one.
Well, anyway, guys, if you made it to the end, we appreciate you. But that is all we've got for you today. So as always, we hope you have a wonderful weekend and we will see you on Monday. Bye.
Cheers.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.